Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all my blessed beloveds out there on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Here on the seacoast, it's sunny, clear skies, and I think we might have hit the 50s today. So quite blessed to be able to turn off the fossil fuels and open up the windows and have sunshine beaming in. It's just a glorious, glorious spring day, and I'm looking forward to even warmer weather and wearing sandals and summer dresses, my favorite thing to do. Next week, I want to give a big shout-out. I believe we have Leona on. She is not only one of my students, has an amazing artistic talent, and she was also the individual who donated the little show ditty for me. And so she'll be on, and she's going to talk about her upcoming book. I'm super excited about Adventures of Babysitting. So Leona Hosack will be on as an author, a musician, and a talented silhouettist, and she'll tell you all about that, and that's next week. So looking forward to it. I was confused. I thought Amy said that she was going to be out of town today, so I invited my buddy Rebecca from the West Coast, so it's morning for her, to co-host with us. But Amy's here. She made it. I guess it's next week that she's not going to be co-hosting, but I believe you'll be missing that show a little bit because you as well love Leona as much as I do.
Yes. Yeah, that's too bad. I didn't realize that it was next week.
Yeah. So as far as some crazy lineups, just inundated with amazing, inspirational people that will be filling in for April and May, booking that as quickly as I can, but quite a few coming up, amazing authors, survivors. And I did reach out to Soul Pancake, and they're going to try to squeeze us in sometime in May or June.
Okay.
They, too, are very, very busy. But what they do as an organization just gives me chills. It's just so wonderful how they're inclusive in their messaging of, you know, making this planet a better place through love and hugging. And look them up. Google Soul Pancake. It's wonderful. So, Amy, welcome.
Yeah.
Hi.
How are you doing?
How are you? I'm very well.
I've been busy. I'm getting ready to go up to Utah in June for the convention. I'm getting excited about that. And also doing an event at Unity of the Seacoast on April 14th, releasing emotional patterns with essential oils. I use Louise Hayes's Heal Your Body book. Affirmations and that kind of thing that's included in the program. So that will be on April 14th at noon at University Coast.
Very cool. Now, Miss Rebecca, how are you?
Hi, Rusty. Hi, Amy. It's so good to be on the show again.
Hi, Rebecca.
I love talking to both of you. Love it. Let's see, what am I doing besides sitting in my room? And you said it's 50 degrees. Well, it's 70 here in California. Usually it's our let's see, medium weather. Yeah, 70. We usually don't dip below that, but it's a beautiful day always. And I just got some news today. I'm going to be one of the authors in a collaborative book that's coming out in June, and it's called If I Knew, but it's, oh, hell, it's called, hold on a second.
No pressure.
It's called If I Only Knew What I Know Now.
Mm.
And it's just, it's a group of us all collaborating, and it's, I feel it's going to be on the New York Times bestseller list. I do have to say that.
Well, it depends on when it's going to be published, because, you know, mine should be published in June, so that's going to be on the New York bestsellers list first.
Okay.
So we got to make sure we talk to the publishers.
Definitely. Listen, there's always room for more than one book on the New York Times bestseller list, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm waiting for mine for next year.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
there
right.
you go. There you go. There you go. I love it. So just a lot of really exciting
for
things.
For everyone out there in living and thriving land, I am Rusty. And
Amy, sorry.
We're not in the same room, so it's hard to see those subtle cues that you would see in the same room. So you have to, you know, hear the cues. And I'm just not hearing it today. Sorry, ladies. Call in, chat with us. We have quite a few things to talk about today. And as always, it's just wonderful to have both Amy and Rebecca on. So the number here is 347-205-9443. And Rebecca, give us a little shout out about, you know, where we can find you and your awesome radio show and
Perfect.
soon to find this book, which I'm sure
okay.
you'll be on to tell us about.
Yes, I will. And let's see, you can find me. I actually do my own radio show. I host a show every Sunday morning on Blog Talk Radio, and it's called Reality Spirituality. And you can just go to www.realityspirituality.com to find that. And you can also find me on my website, which is www.rebeccanorrington.com. And the Reality Spirituality, it's a very simple concept. You know, the universe is very, very simple. And it's basically a show about sharing tools and strategies that enable us all to maintain and sustain this personal vibration, this personal internal vibration of peace, regardless of our external circumstances, regardless of what's happening outside of us. And this show, which I love, it just focuses on, and we've had conversations, Rusty and Amy, we've had conversations about everyday life events and everyday life circumstances and how these events and circumstances and people in our lives align and support or sometimes subtract from our personal vibration. Mm-hmm. So that's what Reality of Spirituality is all about, and how we can maintain that internal peace regardless of what's going on. Oh, you
right.
want more?
Oh, well, you usually have more, so I was trying to make sure I was having my cue not to interrupt.
Yeah, no, let's see, more. Yeah, you know
more,
what, there is more. There's something that I discovered, just last week about myself, and I really don't want to tell anybody because,
We only have 90,000 listeners to the show, so you're not telling many people, maybe a small village.
Good. Okay, perfect. And if 95,000 listeners promise not to divulge what I discovered about myself, I will divulge it.
All right. Your secret's safe.
Okay, you ready for this? You ready for this?
Ready.
And I have to say that I didn't really find out. I was feeling it, but I didn't really... Yeah, that's who you are inside. You have a little bit of that, and it's the A word. The A word, and the word is arrogance.
Wow.
Oh, my God. It was a stab in the heart.
And how did you sit down with your A word and have a conversation about with it, or what are you doing with this A word?
Let me tell you. One of the things that I've discovered that if I'm only going to speak for myself, even though it's true for everybody else, but I'm only going to speak for myself, when I recognize something in someone else, I don't care what it is. If I say, oh, they're judgmental, oh, they're arrogant, oh, they're irritating, they're, you know, whatever word you want to describe anyone, I know that I have that inside also, because I can only recognize what I have, what I own. And there was this one gentleman who, I won't say who it is, but likes to throw around names and his contacts. And I have contact with Wayne Dyer, and I have contact with Deepak Chopra. I had lunch with him last week, and I worked with Dr. Phil, and just on and on and on. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, he sure is arrogant. Yeah. And it just stuck with me, because what the universe does with me is they just throw things at me little by little, and they just wait for me to bite. Now, sometimes it takes me a week to bite. Sometimes it takes me months to bite. But I actually got on this pretty quickly, because in my own life, I ran into my son's, and I'm going around and around in a circle, but I'll have a point soon. In my own life, I met some of my son's teachers at Marshall's, and I hadn't seen them. I mean, they were his junior high teachers. And, of course, I was talking about my son and what he's doing. He's 28. He's living in New York, blah, blah, blah. And he teaches yoga, and he has a personal client. And this personal client is world-renowned. The name, everyone would recognize this person's name. And guess what I did? I threw out the name. Now, they didn't ask me. They didn't ask me who the personal client was. They didn't ask me anything. But so I did the same kind of thing that I was pointing my finger at this man for doing. And now I'm thinking, I'm sitting here with this, okay, now I'm arrogant and I'm throwing names out. And I came across this man online. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is Panache Desese, spelled D-E-S-A-I. Have you heard of him, Amy?
Mm-hmm. I have, yes.
Yes. And this guy is so real, and I've listened to a couple of his interviews, and he said, this is what he said, you get spiritual people in the room, and watch the judgments fly, and watch the arrogance go. Yeah, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, and he says, you know why? Because they have a little bit of insecurity, and they have to feel better than other people, and I had to think to myself, damn, that's true. Jesus.
It is.
And he made a joke. He says, spiritual people, it's look at me. I have 16 beams of light just radiating from my body, radiating, and you only have 2 beams of light. Look at me. Look at how bright I shine. And you know what? I had to own that, and I had to admit that. And so that was my revelation for this week.
That was an excellent revelation. Thank you for sharing.
It is.
I think we all go through that.
I have a friend that stresses that a lot, and it is a hard concept to actually get your mind around, because you feel like you're actually trying to help that other person, but at the same time, you're doing exactly what you don't want them to do. And that's hard to get people to wrap their brain around that. You know, what you complain about or what you see in other people is actually, like you said, something you own yourself. And, you know, it's commendable for you to actually accept that, because a lot of us don't. We just move along that same path, and that's why we don't progress.
Mm-hmm. Well, another thing is, and this really, is another blow to my ego, which we've talked about before, is really not very friendly at times. Mm-hmm. But these people, and I say these people meaning all of us, we're all the same. We all are divine. We all are divine. I don't care if we're, you know, spiritualities crossed our paths, but we all are the same. And I had to say, I couldn't say I was the same person as the guy down the street who has no clue to enlightenment. I have to say, no, I'm not the same as he. But in God's eyes, in the universe's eyes, yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where do you feel that you're going now with your A word? Are you going to put it on your chest like a scarlet letter, or have you accepted it and more cognizant of it? How are you approaching this part of you that popped up for whatever reason?
Well, I am, first of all, number one, I do not feel bad about it. I used to feel bad about all of the discoveries. Oh, gee, I'm this, I'm that. No, number one, I do not feel bad about it. I'm just embracing it. It's just a recognition, and it's just keeps me mindful of where I want to go. My purpose is to be and align myself with the universe as much as possible. I want to be the universe. I want to love the way the universe is love. I want to be the example of the universe. So all I got to say is, hey, universe, can you help me with that? And just, you know, now that I recognize it, it's time to let it go. It's time to move on to something else. That's how I'm doing it. I don't stress over it. I'm just, I'm ready to let that go. I'm ready to drop that personality trait. I'm ready to move on to something more universal.
Very cool. Amy, did you have a question? Okay. All right. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and we have Amy and Rebecca on the line. Feel free to dive into this chat. We have a little bit of time and three excellent women to discuss life and purpose and success. The number here is 347-205-9443. So, Rebecca,
yeah.
I had a, you know, it's tax season, and I'm a big believer, especially when it comes to business. So I'm going to start out business related, but I think very purposefully and easily it can translate into life. I'm remapping my business as I always do every 7 weeks or so. I look at my map and figure out if I'm going in the right direction, what other directions I could take. So I wanted to delve in a little bit. As you know, all three of us are business owners, so and we have three different types of business. I think it would be really valuable to talk about success and what makes a successful person. And again, because the word success can apply to business or apply to person, this conversation could be very interesting. But, you know, it's tax season. I'm working on my business map. I'm really excited because some extra things have come my way, and I'm trying to navigate and balance and determine what is of value to keep, what is no longer valuable business-wise because I own three companies. The love, which I believe you really have to love what you're doing and be passionate about it, or there's no motivation. If it's fun work, if you're good at it, you really get good at it, you know? So what are your steps to success? What kinds of things do you think?
You know, Rusty, I have to say that everything that I view as successful is all internal. I have done a lot in my life. I've continued to do external things, you know, writing, fitness, helping others. But all of my success hasn't always been like that, but comes from within. The story that I shared about this arrogance, when I get to a point where I don't have that anymore, that's a success for me. When I was, believe it or not, a bitch on wheels 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and loved to argue and threw out opinions. I mean, you name it, my way or the highway. And I'm just not like that anymore. I don't feel comfortable being that. That is a success to me. That's success to me. And the other thing I also say is a success is, if for whatever reason one person hears or feels or is inspired by some of the things I say and makes a switch in their life not an improvement, but just a shift in their life, that's another success for me. Other than that, that's it. That's all I got. That's all I got.
So some of the things that I've studied over the years, and again, this applies to both internal and external successes, is you need to have clarity on what you're doing, whatever that is. So for you, it's clarity of really internally navigating and changing the internal so that you can shine externally and share.
Yes.
The authentic you.
Yes.
And you're good at it, and you continue to get good at it. So this example that you gave us earlier is evidence that you're continuing to improve. Right?
But, yes.
And you focused on that, and you're pushing yourself to be even better. Right?
Yes.
So in whether it's business or personal, these seven steps that I like to use and teach, love, passion, that's one step, fun, make it work fun, good and get good at it, focus, pushing yourself, serve others something of value. So while you're doing this internal getting good at being Rebecca, this is actually serving something of value to others.
Yes.
Your ideas. You're very curious. I know that. That's why I love having you on the show. And persistence. Those are the seven keys to success in my mind. So let's break it down a little bit. Like your fun working fun is the radio show, right?
It's the radio show, and I have to say that it's also part of who I am. I mean, naturally, I can make anything fun. I make my aerobic classes fun only because I'm just kind of a fun kind of gal. It spills over into the office. It spills over into riding the bus. It spills over in like for instance, yesterday I was on the bus and this gentleman just kept talking and talking and reading newspaper out loud, and then I made eye contact with one of the passengers and we were making crazy faces at each other just listening to this other person. So it's just being out there. And and also what you were saying is the success, it spills over. The more peaceful and the more connected you feel internally, it also spills over into your relationships. All of my relationships are 100% better than they used to be. And so it's ongoing, continually evolving success. And I'm just being myself and relaxing with it and knowing that who I am, where I am right now is okay, everything's in order. That's very successful.
One of the things that I, because I'm business coach as well, and one of the things that keeps popping up during sessions is this concept of depression and recession. And I have my Cheshire Cat smile on. There's an intention behind this conversation. My favorite saying, and I believe it was Tony Robbins, who I like, but, you know, there's so many of them, is get strong during the tough times. What does that mean to you? What value does that provide you as a coach and spiritually driven woman?
Get strong during the tough times.
Yeah.
I believe that with your Cheshire Cat hat, I believe that's the only time that you, when we're tested, the times are tough, those are the times where we grow the most. Those are the times when, you know, anyone can be happy when everything is going well. Anyone can skip through the tulips when, you know, they have the right amount of money in their bank account or you know, whatever. Anyone can be happy during that. The true test of character and connection with the universe is when things are not exactly the way we want them to be, which brings me to another another point, which is really powerful. Resisting what is, resisting your reality, resisting my reality, brings me, it causes me to suffer. And when I resist what is, I'm not happy, I'm not connected. And so the bigger picture is, you know, everything is in order. Everything is in order. Everything has a reason. And so let's just start relaxing with it. I don't know if I went off into another tangent. I don't even know if I answered your question, but that just came out of my mouth. So what's the next question? Thank you. What? What was the question?
I'm sorry. I'm in my own world.
Yeah, there you go. But I'm not sorry, and I am in my own world. Hello?
I'm still here. Is Rusty still there?
Oh, okay. Okay. Rusty?
I think we may have lost Rusty. Do you hear me?
I do hear you, Amy. Let's carry on with the show. Who needs her?
Well, actually, we can keep talking, but I always need her.
No, you know I'm teasing.
I know you are. I'm just going with the flow here.
But
what it means is basically what you just said, but it also means a little bit is the learning process. If you don't learn to get through the tough moments with as much grace, then you won't progress because you're not learning that lesson. So if you keep repeating yourself and keep repeating the same pattern, then the outcome's going to be the same. And I tell people in my world, if you want something different, then you need to do something different. Because if that's not working for you, you need to try something new. How can you expect a different outcome when you're doing the same thing?
That's right.
And a lot of people get hooked up in that pattern. And I find myself falling in that pattern sometimes as well. You know, we all, have our moments. And what I've learned for myself this year is getting through those tough moments and still being grateful for what I have, even if it's a little tiny little thing at that moment in time. It's the only thing that I can be grateful for. But as long as I recognize that, the universe gives you more.
Oh, I have a great question for you. So my question is, are you grateful for the tough moments?
I am now. I am now.
Oh,
but that is a new lesson for me.
That's right. That's right. Being grateful for the tough moments is a hard one.
It is very hard. And people are like, well, how can you be grateful for the tough moments? And I said, well, if you haven't learned the lesson, then you're not going to be grateful for that moment. And I see looking back now when I've had to go through some tough times and was able to look at it in a different light, and the outcome of it was way better than before. I know that it works, so I can, tell. I have experience now that I can share with people and say, see? And a lot of us need that little reassurance that what you're saying is actually,
That's
you're not
right.
just saying it,
That's
so experience
right.
is a huge teacher.
And the other great thing that you said, Amy, is we've all experienced these tough moments, and we still continue to experience them. But the thing is, haven't we all come out better? I mean, if you really look back, haven't you always come out better?
Yes, and you don't repeat that mistake if you truly learn what needs to be learned. You don't repeat those patterns, so things will change.
Yes, totally. Rusty, are you back to your show?
I am. It's amazing how Blog Talk just decided that I needed to take a quick break.
Okay. We're like,
evidently,
hello, and I'm like, can you still hear me?
I was saying, hello, I couldn't hear anybody, and then it said, end episode, and I'm going, what? no, we still have 30 minutes, and we were getting strong during the tough times, darn it.
Yeah, no, we're
I'm back.
Good.
We're
See,
live.
It just goes with the flow. You just need a break, that's all.
Yeah. And let me tell you something, Rusty, while you were gone, Amy tried to take over the show.
Yeah, I'm sure she did a great job.
Oh, okay. Very perfect.
So I think that's actually a perfect twist with it, what you ladies were talking about in regards to this co-authoring of your book. I mean, frankly, for me personally, and Amy has read part of my book, and, you know, it was tough stuff. But if I had the knowledge that I have now, then I honestly don't think I would change anything.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
No, because you needed to go through that. And
absolutely.
And things have changed for you. And I know personally because I'm, you know, right next door while she's going through this. And there, so much has changed for her in just 1 year. And letting go and, you know, and I love the title of her book. That hooked me right from the beginning. And she's only let me read a little bit of it, but not that I wouldn't be anticipating it anyway, but what I did read, it's tough to even read. Never mind.
Mm.
I can imagine even writing it. But I know that this book will touch a lot of people and will let them know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, I'm really proud of Rusty for putting these words on paper because I'm sure it was tough. But there's a lot of good things that have come out of it. So, you know, it's actually very exciting to watch.
Thank you.
Well,
but
I
that
have
would
to
be,
say,
you know,
oh, go ahead.
That's what I'm trying to embrace with the three of us is, you know, how did we get to this successful point? I know for me, and Amy can testify because she's one of my best friends, so she knows the down and dirties. In 3 years, it's amazing what I've been able to accomplish in the last 3 years, and it keeps getting bigger and stronger and more vibrant, and I couldn't be more excited and thrilled and humbled and grateful. But I think there was a period of my life where I had to get strong during the tough times, and in that strength, I've been able to create some really amazing things.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Rebecca, you as well. I mean, you've gone through some really tough times, and look at you now. So that's the success piece that I want to share and inspire with other people. Is these three ladies, we've all had tough times. Now look at us. We're extremely successful women. But how did we get there? What keeps us motivated? What keeps us going?
Well, for me, it would be passion, I guess, in a lot of different levels. Passion for what I do and what I believe in. Passion for people to truly be happy. And being blessed to be able to do what I'm passionate about, that's what drives me. When I was working your job, J-O-B, just over broke, as I would call it,
I love that.
You know, you're working for someone else. You're working to accomplish their dreams. When you're actually able to work and accomplish your dreams, like you are, Rusty, and you are Rebecca, I mean, that alone changed my life in so many different ways. Yeah, in the beginning I was poor as a dormouse, but I was happy in so many other ways, and I was learning, but as I continued to, the persistence, as Rusty was talking about, there was a few times I was going to give up. I didn't. I kept going. Now the success is coming in. Because I didn't give up, and I kept with my passion and with my true self.
Mm-hmm. A couple of things. First of all, Rusty, I don't even... You said the title of your book is called Go?
No. Having Tea with My Skeletons.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I haven't even read it, but I can feel that you wrote from your heart. And anytime you write from your heart and you write the truth from your heart... that you're going to be touching millions and helping millions because it's so we're like sponges. We're dying to hear the truth. We're dying to hear what other people have gone through. That means that and people can relate. You know, we're not doing anything that anyone else can't do.
Exactly.
And so I just can feel that it's when Amy said powerful. All I could feel was just truth and love and just sharing that. And when you share with skeletons, oh my God, it is going to be powerful. It's powerful already, and I haven't even seen a chapter or even read a line. I could feel it. And Amy. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the other thing is, it is her true story, and you know, you can read a lot of books and they put a little, you know, as they would call it, the Hollywood vibe to it. But this book is not that.
No. We don't need any more Hollywood vibe. No,
you certainly don't.
No.
And that's what's going to make it so real, and that's what's going to make it really, truly touch people, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. If I can ever get it to the publisher. Working on it.
You will.
The editor ended up asking me to write two books from this one book. So it was supposed to be published next month, but then the delay. So now the first half of the book is my autobiography, and the second half are all of the worksheets.
Absolutely. We'll know soon enough.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And Rebecca, you're now going to co-author a book in regards to, you know, the same concept. Would you change anything if you knew what you know now?
I would change nothing.
Yeah.
I would change nothing. My son, who's 28, you know, when I was younger raising him and with my ex-husband, and I wasn't who I was now, who I am now, and oh God, I was such a bitch of a mother, but you know what? Everything happened the way it's supposed to happen. He is who he is based on what happened, and it's not about feeling bad because everything is you know, God doesn't make mistakes. The universe doesn't make mistakes. The universe set this up. So who am I to complain about when it's happening or when it should have happened or I could have been better? And no, I'm done with that. Done with it.
I am as well. And that, you know, that was a hard process for me to just be simple in your life. But now that I've adopted that practice, it's so overwhelmingly joyous that I tell people, when I tell my stories, I feel like Tom Cruise that jumps on the couch. Remember when he did that on the Ellen Show?
Yes.
That's what I feel like doing, honestly, because I'm so excited about what's happening in my life. And I'm like, don't you guys see this? You know, and I'm like, here I go, jumping on the couch again. But, you know, it really is exciting when you make that realization how simple and how close things you want are in your grasp. And we're just beings that like complications, I guess, because it takes us so long to be that simple person, and it seems to be easier to be complicated.
What's that saying? I know one of you two must have a better memory than I do. You have the same amount of time as Mother Teresa, Einstein, Amelia Earhart. I can't remember the other famous people.
Right.
But basically, it's, you know, you as an individual have the same amount of time as everybody else, and these people have chosen to really push themselves hard enough, harder, and really embrace their curiosity with a passionate way, and worked, you know, they got strong during the tough times.
And most of those people had to work through, you know, a lot of contradiction and people not believing in them.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Well, who needs people believing in you anyway? I mean,
I'm not sure, but I've always asked who they is.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. And I mean, when you believe in yourself and you can feel whether it's an inspiration from the universe. You can feel how it feels to you. You can feel that. So with that, that's all you need, really. It's very simple.
It is very simple. And gratitude is another big lesson I learned this year, of being grateful for the small things, anything that you can find. Mm. And more just comes your way. And if people could just really grasp that, now that I've grasped that concept pretty, for a long period of time now, and I'm seeing other people and their patterns and where I used to be, and it's almost, I kind of wince. I'm like, oh, I wish I could help them through this, but I know they have to go through it
their own way,
you know?
That's right.
And
that's right.
That's when I'm, it's a hard lesson for me because I'm always the person that wants to help everybody down. But there are some paths that you just have to wait for them to catch up. That's all, because they have to go through it.
And you know what, too, Amy? I used to be the same way. I'm always, trying to help out, give me a little bit of advice. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I've learned that unless somebody asks me a question, unless they really, want something different, they will ask me a question as opposed to me just volunteering what I think. And and they will get it in their time, and maybe not in this lifetime, but they will get it. That's just the way it's set up. They will get it.
Well, and I think one of the keys, and I think the three of us have really embraced and recognized our successes, internal and external. And one of the largest keys that I learned a few years ago, probably 10 years ago, which helped spear me into my success, was question. Ask questions. Don't assume.
Mm-hmm.
Don't assume. Don't assume that you know how this person feels. Don't assume that the conversation is about you. Don't assume. When you do that, it changes the dynamics of the relationship, and it also changes the dynamics of your relationship as a whole, I think. So always ask questions rather than making assumptions.
I love that, Rusty. I mean, I knew it all. I not only knew what was in my head, but I knew what was in your head too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I knew why you said it. I knew why you did it. And I want to share with you a quick, fun story about how that snapped me out of it. And I'm just going to keep going on with this. It's actually just a real quick story. I used to be in Toastmasters and, competition speaking and all of that. And we were having a meeting, and in this meeting there was a father and a son that used to attend the meeting. And the father was very, very, he liked to tell his son was 16, and he was, I guess, in his 40s or so. And he would always like to direct his son and tell his son what to sit and where to go and what to do. And it bothered the hell out of me. Why don't you just leave this kid alone? We're in a meeting, and he's always directing his son and basically bossing his son around. And I never liked it. And this was right before a little speech contest during the meeting. We have contests. Mm-hmm. And so the son went, we were having a break, and the son went outside, I guess, to get some air. And the father went right behind him. And I said, oh, my God, there that father goes. Here, the son is coming up. He's going to have to give his speech. And here the father goes right in the middle, right before, and telling him what to do. I get on my high horse. And I walk outside, and I say to the father, leave him alone. Let him do what he wants. Let him prepare for his speech his own way. And you know what the father told me? He said, I came out here because I had to fart. I wasn't going to tell him anything. So that just stopped me, because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
No, and I think when you evolve to that level of awareness and consciousness, you realize you're just a student getting your PhD in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it really changes the value of the relationships you have with people, the people that you want to interact with, and how you act as an individual when you take a step back going, you know what? I'm just a student. Teach me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we all have our specialty or to teach someone. All of us have a special gift, a purpose, whatever you want to call it, talent that is meant to be used in this lifetime.
Right.
And that's what I try to help people find. And when they find that specialness of themselves and build on that, you know, what I do for a living, I've wanted to do all my life. But I didn't start really doing it until 5 years ago because everyone says, oh, you need to go work for someone else and you need to be in a prestigious position and you need to, you know what I mean? So I learned, I had to go through that, though, in order to learn where I really needed to be. So I can
speak
from experience, you know, that I've been there, done that.
Absolutely, and I think one of the other pieces to being a successful individual intro or externally is risk-taking. You have to take a risk.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Yeah, you have to say, pull up your big girl panties or boy panties and say, I'm just going to do it, and I don't know anything more than I'm taking one step ahead of the other and... You know, and you want to try to anticipate as much as you can. There's a certain logic behind anticipating your path and having some measurement of whether this is working for you or not. But dreaming and wanting to be, you have to take that risk because nobody's going to do anything for you.
No, the action is required.
The action is required, and that's required by you. And the most successful people are the largest risk takers. Logical.
Yeah.
You know, they're not jumping into pools with alligators, but maybe they are. I haven't seen those headlines yet.
Yeah, well, the thing, too, is that you find, you know, all the success stories. But what I'd like to dig into, like you do on this show, is what actually got you there? What is their experience that they learned from? We'd probably be really surprised at some of, you know, even Donald Trump. He's been
hold on 1 second, Annie, because all of a sudden the phone line is really, really scratchy, and I know it's not me. Did anybody move?
No,
Rebecca, it's you.
Okay, I'm going to get off the line. Anyway, I've got
I can't hear a word you're saying, but if you can move or call back.
How do I sound?
12 minutes left. You sound better. Yeah, somehow.
Okay.
Becca went into a void.
Yeah. Is she still there?
Well, she's still on the line, and I can still hear the... Oh, she's hung up. She'll call back in. 347-205-9443. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I'm Amy.
And Rebecca will dial back in, I'm sure. So I'm sorry, I just couldn't hear a word you were saying. Can you continue?
Okay. I'm trying to remember what I was saying. Oh, about learning about, you know, going through the trials. Is a real integral part, whether you want to do it or not. What Rebecca was talking about earlier is what we need, you know, those steps need to be taken in order for each individual to learn their own path and to grow and progress. Because what I've learned in my own experience from going from, you know, my regular job to being self-employed is, you know, I'm building this for me and my family. I'm not building it for someone else. And I think a lot of people are starting to go in that direction, which is exciting because then we're going to have, I think, a lot of creative minds out there that we need to tap into. And that's why I'm so excited about your book, Rusty, because...
I'm grateful. I'm grateful, and I can't wait for you to sit down and read all of it.
Me either, because I really think it's really going to really hit that button in some people that...
Definitely
okay,
a whomp in the ass.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, what the book is going to reveal and what they're going to read, when they put that book down, the first thing they're probably going to think is, well, if she can do it, I can.
That's all
and
I
that's
want.
What
that's
we
my
need.
Sole intentional.
That's what we
yep.
need out there is that little shot in the arm that it doesn't matter how bad things seem, you can always choose a different path or a different outcome by just changing how you react or whatever. And that's why I love that the title of the book, because having tea to me means this is a calming and a cleansing time.
Mm-hmm.
With your skeletons. And I just really think that the title alone says so much.
I'm very grateful, and I think that the book's timing universally is, as always, the universe
mm-hmm.
comes to you in the perfect time, perfect place, and perfect way. But one of the mm-hmm. things, and Rebecca's back on, I see her.
Oh, good.
You're not muted, sweetie. One of the things that I also wanted to point out, just in the measurement of success and how we have the same amount of time as everybody else, and we have 9 minutes left, 65% of the Fortune 5000 companies were all created during recession, depression time periods.
Mm-hmm.
65%.
Yeah, a little bit of desperation poured in there, Mike.
Well, what's amazing about that is people who are willing to take a risk, they have passion, they have ideas, they're curious, they're persistent, and they're going to push themselves. They're not afraid that it was a recession or depression. And look at them. They're multi-billion dollar companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so having that understanding and changing that thinking, you know, you don't have to accept that we're in a quote-unquote recession. Don't accept that. You're not.
No.
You know, they might be, but not you.
But if you accept that as your reality, then that is your reality.
That's... I love my girls. That's the point of the show.
I just want to say goodbye because I have another interview at 11 in about 8 minutes. But I wanted to say thank you so much for inviting me on, Rusty. I always love talking to you. And Amy, I love talking to you too. And I just thank both of you for sharing the moment.
We're always grateful to have you on.
Absolutely,
thanks,
Rebecca.
So
do you want to give us your information before you hang up?
Okay, yes, you can contact me. You can send me an email at info@RebeccaNorrington.com, and also my website is www.RebeccaNorrington.com. Thank you, ladies.
Yay.
Thank
you. Have a great
show.
Have
a wonderful day, Rebecca.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, dear. Oh, she's so sweet. I'm glad she was able to pipe in real quick.
Well, I love how the three of us all converse, it seems, you know. We seem to be on
flow.
The same wave. It is a good flow, same wavelength. And, you know, I love how she, how simplicity in the way that she explains things right to the point.
yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
Yep, it's fun. And it's, I think it allows other people to get, you know, we're very different women, but
mm-hmm.
we flow so well together, even in our differences. And it gives three perspectives.
Yes, and that's what, you know, that's what you want. I want, you know, me, myself, we come from different backgrounds. And how long have we known each other, Rusty, like 5 years? And it
no, I think
like,
it's been longer than that.
Has it?
I don't know. It's been a long time.
5 years, I think it's only been about 5 years, really.
We've known each other.
I know, it seems that way, doesn't it? Well, that's my point. My point is... I've known you probably the least amount of time of a lot of my friends, yet I feel more connected to you, but that's because of the connection and the type of relationship we have. I'm not saying the other ones are bad. They're just different.
Right.
And when
we have a cosmic sisterhood.
Yes, I think so. I think we were definitely sisters in another lifetime. But anyway, yeah, I'm very excited for your book, and I'll probably, hopefully, be one of the first to read it in full.
Absolutely. I'm almost done. It's 217 pages now. My goal was 260, but I'm just working on worksheets at this point. We divided it, mm-hmm. again, the first half's autobiography.
I think that was smart, though, because it's kind of like, okay, we have this, and then here's your solution.
Yeah,
now
here's a resource or a tool.
Work.
Yeah,
right,
exactly. That's exactly what I called it.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
Yeah,
good choice.
Time to do the work. So as we are wrapping up the last few minutes, I just wanted to do a little bit of an overview on steps to success. I don't believe that there's any other way to be, but I also had to learn to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think love, being passionate, and really loving what you're doing is the number one.
Mm-hmm.
Dreaming, being curious, being creative. That fuels your love, your passion, no matter whether it's business-related or personal. I think this works for both. And have fun. It's got to be fun. It can't be
mm-hmm.
the same mundane thing, unless that's fun to you. You know, that's great. Do it. And if you're good at something and it's fun and you're loving it, get really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Focus. Push yourself. Utmost importance, at least to me, and I know many others will echo in volumes, that serving others something of value is huge.
It is
so
huge.
If you get really good at yourself and you work out on yourself and it becomes fun and you find passion of yourself and you're pushing yourself to get even better, you're serving others something of value, and you are the most valuable person. We all are. As individuals, we are more valuable than anything. Persist. Stay persistent and get strong during the tough times. Take the tough times as experience, as knowledge, as that really, really hard math class in high school for those of us who just did not find any love or passion for math. But, you know, get good at it.
And you're talking to one who did.
See, there you go. I was more of the art class, you know, thespian, creative person. Math class, like, really? Okay. But
yeah, and as you know, I am not artistic.
And that's how we balance each other.
Yes.
But
it's funny that the whole yin and yang concept. You think about what we were just speaking about, how different our personalities are, yet put us together, and we're like this beautiful yin yang symbol. You know, that works really well. So you know, the power of that, you know, is, you know, when you think, oh, I need to have someone just like me, that's really not the best solution.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. No. I mean, you have to have the sun and you have to have the moon. And and the balance is perfect if you respect it.
That's right.
You know?
It's true.
But you need both. You need the sun and the moon.
Mhm.
So I'm super excited. Leona's going to be on next week. She was one of my students for a couple of years, and she's just thriving and really become extraordinary. Yeah, she's going to be very successful. She's working towards it. It's great stuff. And I got a sneak peek of her Adventures in Babysitting book. And she not only wrote it, but she also illustrated it. So beautiful stuff. Yeah, very
nice.
Cool.
Well, I will be in Augusta next week at the National History Day of Maine that my daughter has been invited to present at. So that's where I will be next week, and I will return the following week.
Yay, very cool. We are back-to-back with shows, so we'll have to talk about that
good.
At some point. So, yeah. But we're down to 60 seconds, folks, and I just wanted to remind you, as always, you are valuable, very valuable to me. I love you. I think you're beautiful. I wouldn't do this if it wasn't because of you. I'm so grateful for all the feedback that I get internationally. This show is for you, inspired by you, and I just couldn't be more humbled and motivated to have more exciting topics and guests. So until next week, again, I love you. Have a great week. Do something for somebody today. Even if you don't do anything for anybody outside of you, do something for you. Till next week.